T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, back on the Fan. Beningo in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Always a pleasure to welcome to the program my good buddy, the great BT, Brandon Tierney. You hear him in the afternoon on the network, CBS Sports Network, with Tiki Barber. B, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing, buddy?
First What's of all, happening? I heard your birthday today. Am I correct about
it
that?
It is, yeah.
Happy
is
birthday. What'd you get? Did you hit 40 yet or what?
Yeah, I'm over 40. South of 50, north of 40, bro. Interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm not too far north of 70, so I would.
Hey, listen, man.
You're way ahead of me, B. Let me tell you, man.
Joe, you made it this far. Thankfully, you're healthy, so it's all good, buddy.
That's a great point. And you're playing some golf today, so I know that's a good thing. You're pumped up. How's the game, by the way? I haven't talked to you in a while. You've been playing?
Yeah, but I've been getting out a little bit. Listen, you know the deal. It's a work in progress.
Of course.
You know, I'm one of these guys who loves the game. You know, I'm a range rat, you know, just like I was with baseball. Love taking BP, extra swings. That's just my nature. But it's tough, man. I mean, I really thought I'd be better at this point, but there's no quit. There's some days where it's rocking a little bit. There's some days where I almost hope nobody's on the course so nobody sees my swing. It depends on the day. I mean, it really depends on the day. But, you know, like you, I love golf, and I've yet to quit, Joe. So
yes.
Hopefully a couple of cocktails loosens me up today.
I always got confidence in you, bro. There's no doubt about it. Look, here's the bottom line. Nice, I learned buddy. This now a long time ago.
What?
We're never going to be as good as we want to be. Never.
Joe, the bottom line is this, man. Let me first acknowledge that statement. True.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
We just started way too late in life.
Yes.
I mean, if you start early – and you begin to ingrain somewhat of a smooth, functional swing path in your mind and your body, you got a puncher's chance to be decent. When you start playing when you're 25 like I did just about, and you were much later
40s.
Than that.
I was older than you are now, I think. I was at 47 or so when I started.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's tough. You play catch-up,
yep.
But you know what? What else would you – if you're not working, you're not spending time with your family, what else would you rather do? It's the
There's
best.
Nothing – people that don't play just don't understand.
That's what I told you for years.
I know. A lot of people did. Of course you did.
I know.
But, you know, once you get out there, once you get the feel, once you hit some decent shots, you know, you have a couple good holes, maybe you get a birdie every now and then, you're like, well, you know what? This isn't too bad.
It's like you're moonwalking up the fairway. You feel like you're flying almost.
Right. And I understand.
Oh, God,
I understand.
Great.
All right, so I got to ask you this.
What?
Your overall thoughts, are we going to see, because I'm very skeptical. I know baseball finally got their parameters set up for the season and everything. Mm-hmm. But I am very skeptical we're going to see any of these team sports. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Joe. I mean, the bottom line is this. When you do a show, especially doing a national show, like if I was doing a local show like you and Ev, I know Ev is off now. But you can obviously focus on some of the minutia of the actual local teams, which is fun. And which is a nice, you know, a nice diversion from the reality of the situation. And when you do it a national show, you've got to kind of look at it from the macro level. And the macro level is this. I don't know if you're aware of that. You probably are. But, you know, 2 days ago, the coronavirus cases soared to our highest single-day total since April 25. Mm-hmm. April 25th, we had 34,200 cases.
Right.
2 days ago, we had 38,000. So how the hell can anybody with any sort of confidence and conviction, first of all, the most, you know, brilliant scientific and medicinal minds can't even point us into the definitive direction. Sports talk hosts are going to make sense of this. So I try to stay in my lane. I try to skew more positively than negatively, because the last thing anybody wants during what our show is a 3-hour diversion is to just be, you know, negative Nelly every day. Oh, no, we're never going to get back. Oh, we're doomed. Oh, there's never going to be sports. Why even try? Why? you got to inject some optimism, but you've got to also inject realism into it, which I've tried to do, and I'm worried, man. It's just, I mean, Florida's a mess. I mean, how does this Orlando bubble work? Baseball? There's a lot at play, and there's no handbook for this to navigate. You just got to go day by day and see what the news cycle gives you.
Do you think we'll see football on time? You know, all along I've said I thought we'd see somehow they'd get the NFL season off and running.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to maybe back off on that a little bit. What do you think?
It's funny. I had a similar thought too, Joe. I mean, you know, the one thing, and I said this to Tate the other day, is not many things you'd want to take from the XFL. I mean, I think everybody would probably agree with that.
But
the one thing you might want to take is they had like a ninth team almost with no – yeah, not all. They had a ninth team with no affiliation. And, you know, the eight teams have played in the league. Not that I watched the XFL, but
no,
there were eight teams.
I didn't.
I hear you. They were eight.
I think the first week I might have. That's it.
Joe, I didn't even bet on the XFL, which tells you how really disinterested I was.
Right,
I mean, generally,
right,
I'll find
right.
something I get a point
right.
spread. But there was a ninth team, so that if not for the virus, clearly, but if there was an injury, you know, you're not just pulling guys off a couch. At least there's guys who are staying in shape, kind of like in a camp. And I think that, you know, the NFL would be very wise to maybe implement that here, because you're going to have throughout, you know, periods of the season, you're going to have, you know, look, well, okay, so it's a Thursday, and the Cowboys are playing the Giants, and, you know, God forbid, you know, four prominent Giants,
right,
you know,
right,
four fringe guys come. But
no question.
What do you cancel the game? I mean, there's going to be,
Joe,
I mean, I could ramble on and on. I honestly don't know, but I do agree with your main assertion. I was pretty confident that we would get to a point in July and certainly August, and yes, well aware when the spike in the fall with the flu and all that, I get that, but I really thought we'd get the season started. I still on time. I still do, but far less confident than I was back in March when this first hit us.
Talking to the great Brandon Tierney, of course, does a great job in the afternoon with Tiki, Tiki Barber, of course, on the network. All right, the Jamal Adams situation.
Let's get to it. I've been waiting.
You know, let's your thoughts on all of this insanity.
Well, first of all, I want in the most succinct fashion, give me your thought.
Well, I want him. I want him on the team.
Okay.
I'm sick and tired. You know, here we are, the worst drafting team probably in NFL history. I know over the last decade they were. They were dead last out of 32 teams in drafting in the decade from 10 to 19.
Yeah.
So they're probably, if you go back to the 50 plus years, they're probably the worst in football. So they finally hit a number one pick, because we still don't really know about the quarterback. Let's be honest.
No,
really
I think
don't.
Sam's going to be really good, but I hear you. I hear you.
But
we still need to see
there
a
still
more.
Is I doubt. You. I got no doubt about Jamal Adams. He's certainly, if he's not the best safety in the league, he's right there.
Yep.
He's an impact player. You know, you can't pay a safety. I don't. That's nonsense. The guy is an impact player.
Okay, I got you.
And I want to see him on a team.
I got
I'm
you.
Sick of, we finally get a guy that's something in the first round. It's not Darren Lee. You know, it's
no,
not
no.
Deep
Miller
or
Gold, not
Kyle
Goldson.
Wilson.
I know.
Right.
I know.
You know
I
the
know.
Deal.
It's not
that's
Calvin
my feeling.
Pryor. I think a lot of Jet fans for a long time felt that way. I think it's changed a little bit. I can't speak for Evan. I can't speak for other Jet fans in the media or people who call your show. But anytime I drop something like this on social media, the reaction that I get is, you know what? I'm getting a little tired of this guy's act. Let me read you. Let me just pop open my lap. Right, let me read you something. I tweeted something on April 17th, right? I tweeted this and I pinned it to the top of my page, at Brandon Tierney, short and sweet. And I knew we'd get – I pinned it there, Joe, because I knew that we would revisit this, okay? And I wrote simply, the Jets, to your point, the Jets might not draft another player in the secondary as talented as Jamal Adams for 20 or 30 years. He's that good. But if the phone rings, you pick it up and you listen. And if somebody's reckless in what they're willing to give you in a trade, you pull the trigger. Now, this was in April. This was before, you know, they're, you know, he's driving and somebody shouts out of an SUV, "Yo, Jamal, you coming to the Cowboys?" "Yeah, man, I'm trying." Let me put it in a little bit more. Put it in a way that might hit men a little differently, okay? Can you imagine? You're engaged, right? You're engaged. At your at your wife's bachelorette party, which thankfully there was no cameras on our bachelor party, but I mean,
whatever.
But at your wife's bachelorette party, she's walking out of a boat. She's in Austin, Texas. She's in Nashville, too. She's with all the girls in Atlantic City, Vegas, wherever they are, right? And some schmo comes up and says, "Hey, are you looking forward to marrying your husband? He's a good guy. What do you think?" Yeah, he's all right, but I got to be honest with you. I'm looking for better. And, like, yeah, then right. she trips, and, like, right. she's holding her high heels or stilettos, and, like, the white veil is half over her head. And this, you know what? I'm like, just think about
it. No, I get it.
Think
about
this guy, Joe, this guy doesn't want to be a Jet.
Do you really think that, or you think it's just all about money?
Well, I think it's obviously mainly driven through money. That's the impetus here. But then why would he put it out there for the teams, the eight teams, that he doesn't necessarily need an extension if he's dealt with some of those teams? Joe, here's the problem.
Right. That is something that does bother me. I would have to agree with
that. It should. Jet fans, stop being so stupid. Here's what he's telling you in no uncertain terms. He's saying this, Joe. He's saying, hey, yeah, I'll be a Jet if you overpay me. And if you don't, I want to get out of here. Right. He doesn't want to be a Jet. He's full of nonsense. Here's the problem. Even if you did acquiesce, okay, and give him 17 mil, he's got no leverage. Joe Douglas
is none. Right. That's
Joe Douglas is doing the savvy thing. Don't flinch. Don't talk. Right.
Don't you think you should talk to him, though?
Douglas? Oh, yeah. I mean, don't talk to the media.
Right. But yes, Douglas should sit down with Jamal and try to at least, you know, have some kind of a dialogue with the guy.
No, Joe, I don't disagree with that. That would be the prudent thing to do. And listen, maybe they have. Who knows?
We don't know.
But here's the thing. I get the impression that even if they were to acquiesce and give him this money, which for a safety is laughable, even though he is great, and he is great.
He's an impact player.
He's more than that. He's one of the best players in the NFL. Right. I'll take it a step further than what you said to start. Okay. I think he's that great. I think he's great.
Hey.
But Joe, book it. Book this, Joe. If the Jets gave him that money, which, by the way, I don't think they will anytime soon, nor should they. But if they did, you know what's going to happen in 2 years? He's going to start chirping again. Yeah. He's never going to be happy.
Maybe.
So the way I would do it, and I get it, Jet fans, we never get a guy like this. He could be like our Lawrence Taylor. Like, he really could be. I get it. But you know what? He's a safety. He's not a left tackle. He's not a defensive end who gets 18 or 20 sacks a year. He's not a quarterback. He's not a lockdown corner like Revis or Jalen Ramsey. He's a safety.
We got rid of Revis, too. Anyway,
I know. And, Joe, think about this. The Jets have a lot. Even though I like the path, I thought it was a pretty – yeah, maybe one more receiver would have been nice this offseason.
Yes,
but
I would say so.
Yeah, I hear you, and that's obviously.
I did, but they did have to draft the tackle. To me, that was a must that they drafted one of those big offensive tackles.
I agree. If they would have went for the splash, but like CD or Judy at that pick, I would have been, oh boy, that's not the move. They did the right thing. But well, conceptually, they did the right thing. Hopefully, they drafted the right guy.
Well, that's it. Of course.
You know, but and I think they did. The kid's a beast. Hopefully, he's whatever. But, Joe, I'm telling you, Joe, if you want to build a championship team, all right, you got to disperse that money around the horn. And if you give him 17 mil, and look at it this way, the cap next year, based on the coronavirus, will go down. You're going to have to pay Darnold. There's just, I get it.
What do you want for him? What so if you had to trade him. Yep. Okay, and I don't think they will. Like you said, they got him. They got control of him for two more years, and then they could even franchise him. So we'll see how that plays out. But what would you have to have for him?
I want a first round pick, and I want an established, ascending, really good player.
You do want to? You do so? You wouldn't want just draft choices?
No way,
You got to have a player too.
Yes, you want to give me CeeDee Lamb? Let's make the deal tonight. You want to give me Michael Gallup? And a first-round pick.
So you do that. You do Michael Gallup and a Cowboy first-round pick.
And if it's Gallup and not CD, I maybe try to squeeze in a fifth or something. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Joe, this guy is a game wrecker. I'm not denying that. And you've got to prey on Jerry Jones's desperation to win before he retires, or expires. Okay. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way.
Well,
but he's not young. The guy wants to win.
Right.
Generally when you get a little bit old or you're desperate, not that it's necessarily an age thing, but when you're getting desperate, generally caution is ignored. And I believe that that's the one team you can just, if you're smart and you play this right, Joe, and I feel like Douglas will, then you can really squeeze a lot out of him. And I know it would hurt initially, but I think in 2 or 3 years, we're having a conversation, whether you're retired, whether you're still doing your thing. Whether we're playing golf on the, whether we're having a drink, whatever it is, I'll say, you know what, Joe? I was right. It was the right move.
We hope.
Well,
I'm always skeptical. You know, one of the things that bothers me with all this, and again, we're talking to the great Brandon Tierney, is I've seen, how many, I was thinking about this, how many number one draft choice, Jet number one picks, okay? have I seen go elsewhere and win Super Bowls.
I hear you, Joe.
You know how many there are? I got off the top of my head, I got four.
Going all the way back
to Burgess Owens, who was the number one pick back in the 70s, won a Super Bowl with the Raiders in the 80s.
Yep.
John Riggins. Yeah. Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah.
Darrell Revis.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if there's any more, but those are four of them. Okay? All right? Those are four. All guys who were pretty good players as Jets. Pretty good.
You know what, though, Joe? Let me challenge you on this, though.
One is in the Hall of Fame. The other guy will be.
Yeah. But the Keyshawn stuff, think about that.
I understand. They wound up with the four number ones. I know.
And we were really good as a result.
We had
a quarterback. We got John Abraham. We got Sean Ellis. We got Anthony Becht.
Becht wasn't any good.
He was okay. Yeah, he actually wasn't that good.
Right.
But I get it, Joe.
I understand.
Come on, man. How many – I've hopped on the airwaves with you and Evan, or you individually enough. We're buddies. We talk about this. We all know you're the biggest Jet fan in the world. That you got that title. You always will.
Well, I mean,
no, you do.
I'm not looking for that title.
But you got the title. New York has long ago bestowed that upon you out of respect because we love you. But the bottom line is this: like for me, Joe, I don't know what the point of like delineation or demarcation was. I don't know exactly when that happened. But at some point, I stopped living in the past, man. And I stopped, remember when we drafted this guy? What a bum. This guy sucks.
It's hard for me to do that.
I'm not saying it's easy, Joe.
It's very hard when it's been 52 years and I got nothing.
Okay, it's very hard. No, let me correct you. You've got one thing that I don't have. You saw a Super Bowl win.
Right.
I wasn't born.
Right, and I was 15.
I'm going to be 67
in 2 months. Can I get another one? I mean, it's 52 years, bro.
No, I understand.
Most of these Jet fans haven't seen it at all, of course.
Listen, there's two ways to wake up.
I'm not trying to sound
like overly Hallmark here. There's two ways to wake up. You wake up optimistic or you wake up pessimistic.
Right.
And I decided, and I was always certainly more toward the optimistic side, even though my anger or my passion got in the way. But I know it's hard, Joe. But what's the other option? You just expect the worst? I don't want to be a loser fan.
I expect the worst.
But I don't want to be a loser fan.
You're a better man.
Because I'm not a loser.
A better man than me. But I got to see it. You know, it's like the sports coming back this year. I got to, before I'm going to believe anything, I got to see it happen.
Listen, man, it
hasn't happened. We haven't been to the playoffs in 10 years now.
Well, Joe, those are facts. I can't dispute that.
Right.
I'm not here to dispute the facts.
Their drafting is terrible. The ownership is terrible.
Yep.
They never have how did this guy hire Adam Gase? I mean, I go delirious. I mean, I don't know what you feel about Gase, but I mean.
Well, a little more willing to give him a chance than most Jets fans, Joe.
We got to give him a chance. He's the coach. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
so what am I going to do? I'm not rooting against him. What am I going to do?
I know you're not. But, I mean, the guy held it together last year. They could have been 3-13.
A lot of that was, I thought, Greg Williams in the defense.
I don't disagree with that, but he's still the head coach. You win, you get credit. You lose, you get discredit.
Right,
so you got to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, Sam Darnold got better the second half.
Sam Darnold comes to
Joe. 2 years, two head coaches, two systems, no number one wide receiver,
yeah,
no offensive line, no running attack, Joe.
Nothing.
He had mono. Come on.
Yeah, no, I know.
And
they're
0-6.
In the six games he hasn't played in 2 years, they lost them all.
Correct.
0-6.
And his number one tight end weapon gets hurt. Then they pull this guy off the street, Ryan Griffin.
He was good.
He gets hurt.
And he gets hurt, too, right? They signed him to a contract, of course.
You're right. I mean, listen.
Right.
Like anybody in this position, I've been right on a lot. I've been wrong on a lot. Hopefully right a little more and I'm wrong, whatever. Well, I guess we'll get the scoreboard when it's all said and done. I'm putting my chips in on Sammy.
Right.
I'm not putting
I
my
hope
chips
in. So.
Sam Darnold
I hope you're right,
is
bro.
Legit.
Big year for him this year. Big year.
Of course, it's a big year.
Hope you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I wish we didn't have the toughest schedule, but.
One thing to remember about Darnold.
Yeah.
Okay, which worries me a little bit.
If he doesn't
have a good year this year, remember these guys didn't draft him. Remember that.
Yeah, fair. But I think that they're sensible enough football people to recognize
inherent talent. Bro, let's hope.
And leadership.
Let's hope he's the real deal.
Yeah, I mean, again, until we see it come to fruition, I get it.
Yep.
This Jamal Adams thing, it's a dilemma.
No, I understand.
I'm not saying it's an easy call. And let me just tell you real quick here, too. I think a lot of and this is why Joe Douglas is playing chess and McCagnan was playing Connect Four. Here's the difference. You know, when you draft this kid, Ashton Davis, out of Cal, the safety, who I know you know all about.
Okay. He better be good.
Well, listen, everybody's saying, well, this means the end for Marcus May.
Right.
All right. Marcus May's not Jamal Adams. I know that. I'm not saying he is. No way. Nobody is.
Right.
But I believe that the Ashton Davis move was made with the anticipation of eventually trading Jamal Adams, having Marcus May kind of move into that top safety spot, and then have Ashton Davis move into Marcus May's spot.
Right.
Like, that's how you build a team. That's called foresight.
Well, maybe. Look, you may be right. I mean, everybody's very high on Davis, I'll tell you that. I mean,
I don't hear
anybody say anything negative about the guy. He better be good, you know. But,
yeah,
look, that may very well be the way it plays out. I don't know.
We'll
it's just very frustrating because it always seems to be something with this franchise.
What I
mean?
I'm not here to dispute that. Listen, Joe, I know. You know, I mean, I mean, it's heartbreaking. You know, I was so looking forward to seeing. I mean, I'll never forget. I was talking about golf. I was at my club. This was last year, just to go and hit balls, and I get my phone's blown up. The guy's got mono. I'm like, what in the?
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
No,
on
I
a
know.
Tuesday, he gets. So I get it. It's a tough fate being a Jets fan. But I'll leave you with this. In 08, I guess it was, the Devil Rays, when they were still went to the World Series.
They did.
Okay.
The Cubs have won a World Series now. The Red Sox ended the curse now ages ago and have won four since then.
Yes.
I get it all.
Yes. The Browns.
And
I
even
think,
the Chiefs. Wait a minute. The Chiefs, after 50 years, won.
Yeah. You know, the Browns. I think the Browns get their act together. Eventually, Joe, it's going to be our time. And I really believe, you know, I'm not saying 12. I'm not saying anything. So I'm not like making like definitive predictions. But I do believe in my heart, and more importantly, my football mind, like my football sensibility. I'm not going to say Gase will be the coach, but I do believe, you could take me to the bank on this. I do believe that Douglas and Darnold will both be here. Not Gase. I don't think he'll be the coach when this team really pops, even though I like him a little more than some. Douglas and Sam Darnold will be here when this team reaches an apex we haven't seen in a long time. I really believe in both of those guys.
As I would always say, from your lips to God's ears.
That's why we love you, Joe.
That's it. You know what I'm saying, bro? From your lips to God's ears. I know you got to run. I want to tell you happy birthday again.
Go hit
him straight, bro. You know, go out there and, you know, give me a big day. A couple birds today, all right?
A couple birds. Joe, I'll just take a couple of 285-yard bombs. Listen.
You could do that. I'm confident. I'm confident you're putting a couple out there, 280, you know, 275, 280, 285. You'll do that.
I believe that I will do that today. That at the risk
that
of
I'm
sounding,
confident
yeah,
that you're doing
yeah,
that.
I hear. Because you've seen it, and I've hit a few the last couple times out. The driver's actually working, so we'll see what happens, Joe.
Hey, when you get them, man, they go. There's no doubt about it.
Thanks,
AB,
man.
Happy birthday. Best to the family, everybody, and all the love. And we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Love you, pal. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
You got it.
All right, man.
The great Brandon Tierney. Beningo in the afternoon. Evan on vacation, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. Coming back after these words.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.